No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspectives, this is Revenge of the Birds. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. I'm your host, Jess Root, and we are here tonight recording on a Tuesday night following the final regular season game for the Cardinals. They finish a 13-3 campaign as the number two seed. Unfortunately, they did not win their 10th game in a row, defeating the Seattle Seahawks. Instead, it was a one-sided affair, the worst loss of the Cardinals under Bruce Arians, a 36-6 sort of embarrassing game at the hands of the Seattle Seahawks, although in a game that didn't end up meaning anything for the Cardinals and it didn't end up meaning anything seeding-wise for the Seahawks, because even with the win, they still ended up as the number six seed as the Minnesota Vikings took care of business in Green Bay to knock off the Packers and take the NFC North championship and end up the number three seed. And as a result, that means that it stays as the seeding stays as it was. It's, you know, number one Carolina, number two Arizona, number three Minnesota, that they swap spots with Green Bay, number four Washington, number five Green Bay, and number six Seattle. And so they come in as the last wild card team at 10-6 on the season. And so Seth Cox is on the line with me. Seth, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Jess. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Very, very excited for this postseason. This is an interesting week because, you know, as all Cardinals fans know, anytime the Cardinals have made the playoffs, they've been playing wild card weekend. So this is very strange to feel that, you know, normally football's over and this is one we're already talking about the off season and draft and salary cap casualties and we're just kind of chilling for this week because it's a week off of football in terms of fans for the Cardinals, and then they get to play next week, we're just sort of waiting our turn. This is a different feeling. Although it wasn't a particularly happy feeling on Sunday, was it now?
No, I mean, it was definitely an interesting feeling. I think most Cardinals fans will agree that if there's one team they're going to get embarrassed by, whether it was a game they were trying or not trying, you don't want it to be Seattle.
No.
Any other team you can probably, I mean, Pittsburgh may be the only other team that, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow in a loss, but, I mean, Seattle.
The way they reacted and the stadium afterwards was just so annoying.
Well, and it's not even the fans. I mean, look at the players. I mean, look at Bruce Irvin on Twitter. Look at Richard Sherman during the game. I mean, it's just it courses through their veins, and it's why people who, you know, are college football fans have hated Pete Carroll for so long, because the USC teams had a similar aura and swagger about them, and the Seahawks do as well, and that's something that, you know, Pete instills in his guys, and you know he you know, promotes that idea of run your mouth and be, you know, when things are going well, let everybody know how great you are. So,
and that's the thing that's the most annoying about it, is because, you know, they're really brash. They're front runners, and that's the best way I can describe it. Because Richard Sherman as a guy is a great guy, great football player, but you don't hear a pipe from him when they're down. Like, there isn't any... When they're down the way they are, if they're not playing well, or he gets beat for a touchdown or two like he did in Seattle, you don't hear anything from him. But the second they're up or they're playing well, he runs his mouth, which makes it more annoying, because you'd almost rather that the persona continue to be that very, very cocky, aggressive personality, even when they're down. Like, I don't care what they did here. I'm still better than you. But I can't change that.
And that's a good and bad thing. I mean, it's obviously good because it feeds into the belief of the team themselves. They truly believe they are the best team in the NFL. And I think that's an important thing to have as a team, and it's something that we're slowly seeing the Cardinals adapt. You know, Bruce Arians has had that arrogance about him since he got here. You know, it's the arrogance that got him fired from, you know, Pittsburgh, or his contract not renewed, whatever you want to call it, because he truly believes that his way is the best way, and he truly believes his team is the best team. And I think we're starting to see the players buy into that, but, you know, the Cardinals haven't got to the point yet where they are... Well, they've won anything that really matters. Let's be honest. I mean, the NFC West championship is a fantastic, you know, honor to hang. But in the end, if they're sitting at home come February 9th or whenever the Super Bowl is, or 7th or whenever it is, and Seattle's playing on that day, no Cardinals fan is going to be, well, we were NFC champs this year. So that is what Pete Carroll has instilled in Seattle, and, you know, they may take it to an extreme level, but it is also what Bruce Arians is trying to, and I think he has started to instill in the Arizona Cardinals.
On the kind of the opposite nature, and in me, I can see the almost hypocrisy in it in me, because Richard Sherman really annoys me. But then I go to read the quotes from Russell Wilson, and I'm like, oh my gosh, why can't you say anything interesting? he says nothing interesting. I looked at the post game quotes that I got, the transcripts after the game on Sunday, and he's at what I think 2.5 pages that he talked. He said nothing interesting at all. Just everything cliche. Even called his team a bunch of goofballs. I was like, you know, Russell, say something interesting. Say you had a good game. Say it felt good to beat them because they're the Cardinals. But not necessarily saying that they're doo-doo, like Richard Sherman, then claim, oh, no, because he was sitting on the bench. But say something interesting. So, yeah, I get on both sides. I'm like, Russell, say something. Richard, stop saying so much. Be somewhere in between.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I don't think Cardinals fans would be as upset, or maybe defensive. Defensive might be the word I think is the best way to describe it. I don't think Cardinals fans would be nearly as defensive if this had been any other team. You know, like I said, if this is Green Bay, if this is Minnesota...
Or even if it's Carolina, because Cam Newton's kind of been the showboater all year. I don't mind what he does, because he's not really running his mouth. He's just celebrating while playing.
Yeah, and so I think that's what... I think because it's Seattle, that is what has caused such an uproar in this entire situation. So
let's kind of look back. What I kind of want to do this show, everyone who's listening on Revenge of the Birds Radio again, Seth Cox, Jess Root, we're here talking. This is our All Cardinals show. That's kind of what we've been doing. We'll see maybe next week, depending on who the Cardinals play, if we do a preview show. But we're kind of stuck in All Cardinals mode more or less the rest of the way out. I mean, we'll kind of play it by ear with the postseason. RevengeOfTheBirds.com is the website, part of the SB Nation family of blogs. That's a the site that I run and write most of the content. Seth gives us some good stuff, especially when we hit the offseason. We start talking about the NFL draft. Fantastic stuff all the time. If you aren't already a RevengeOfTheBirds.com reader, please get on over there, SBNation.com. You can join any of the awesome blogs we have there. RevengeOfTheBirds.com is our Cardinals site. And what we want to do is kind of talk about the takeaways, if any, from that game on Sunday. Is there anything that we should be concerned about? What happened? Why did that happen the way it did? Should we be concerned or upset looking ahead, especially with how they played against the Seahawks, a team that they dominated in? The score didn't show it at the end, but really from start to finish, it was a dominating Cardinals win in which a couple of plays turned the tide earlier in the season in Seattle. And then we're going to look ahead to the postseason. The Cardinals will play one of three teams this next weekend. Seattle is not one of those teams because they are the last seed. So even if they win, that means Carolina will host them. And the Cardinals won't play Carolina. So Carolina and Seattle off the table. The other three are possibilities depending on how the games turn out this weekend. So we'll kind of look at each of those. As the Cardinals in practice this week, they are taking an approach of this with. So the three teams the Cardinals can play over this next weekend are either Minnesota, Green Bay, or Washington. In any case, they will play at University Phoenix Stadium. So the Cardinals are taking it one team at a time this week, kind of in game plans. One day is going to be Green Bay, one day is going to be Minnesota, and one day is going to be Washington. So we'll take a look at each of those teams, which of the teams would we prefer to play, not prefer to play, kind of rank them in terms of opponents that we want, odds, and so the sort of the matchups like that. But let's talk about that game. And to me, the question is, can we take anything out of the game at all? And I can say basically nothing. That game, as frustrating it was to watch and as disappointing it is for fans to watch that sort of product on the field, there's really nothing to take away from that game because it was very, very clear that they were not terrible after the first few minutes. For what I saw on the field, you know, after Seattle scored the first points, then, you know, when they get the touchdown. But once Carson Palmer threw that interception, at that point, I think the scoreboard played into it a little bit, and the Cardinals just decided to basically pack up. They weren't willing to dig in and play as hard as they needed to in a game that really was, in the big scheme of things, meaningless. And so I don't look at the performance on the field and take anything away from it at all. Basically nothing.
No, I don't think there's a lot you can really take away from this game. Outside of the fact, it was something you and I hit on during the show last week. I think the only thing you can take away from this game, and maybe, you know, we talked about it earlier, so maybe you can't even take that away from it, is that you just gave Seattle the belief that they're good enough to beat you on your home field. So I think that's the only thing that, in a negative light, that you can take away from this game. Yeah, the team came out, they sucked, they were flat, they believed too much in their, you know, their hype. All of that is true, but I think that I've wanted to see this team lose one more time because I think it needed to readjust their ideas and their purpose for the season, because it seemed like everybody had gotten off the quest is a Super Bowl and kind of had become satisfied with where they were as a team and in the fashion they were winning games. So I think this, you know, kind of refocusing of the team and of the plan and what they need will be important. But I do think that's the one negative that you can take from this game is you now have a Seattle team that truly believes that they're the better team than Arizona, and that playing in Arizona in the NFC Championship game, the only time they can play each other, is no big deal, because look at what we just did to them and you know, as we're getting healthier and as we're putting together our offense, which is, you know, the Seahawks offense post Jimmy Graham is probably one of the top three or four offenses in the NFL. Maybe the, you know, closest one to rivaling what the Cardinals are able to do.
And for me, I guess there's one takeaway, but it's not really thinking of the Cardinals. We did talk about the psychological effect. I would have loved to have kind of to see the Cardinals put their foot down and really say, Seahawks, you're done with us. But at the same time, we look at this game. Seattle needed this game psychologically more than the Cardinals, and I can see why they played the way they did, even though Cardinals really played with zero heart after the first few minutes, really going through the motions. I'm not necessarily willing to say that they believed in themselves too much. I think they saw the lack of meaning in the game and just let off the gas a bit and just let the things happen. And I noticed this after the game. I've been in the locker room now since the 2012 season after games, and you can see there is definitely a different feeling in a locker room or from the head coach when you lose a game. There is disgust, there is frustration, disappointment. I didn't sense that at all from anyone. Didn't sense it from BA. Didn't sense it from any player in the locker room. It was more of a relief. The season was over. They didn't really care about the result. And I'll take it this far. Even Carson Palmer, one of the guys that I see who's one of the most the hardest working, just real nose to the grindstone type of player. It was almost like, yeah, this is no big deal. We didn't play the way we did. And they said the right things in terms of it was disappointing for the fans to perform the way they did. But they're like, we're not worried about it because we know we can do it. They knew that they turned it off, and they know they can turn it on. But at the same time, so I don't think it psychologically does anything for the Cardinals because they know they can beat the Seahawks. And they know that they weren't trying as well as they should have. But as you mentioned, I think it was meaningful for Seattle to be able to win and win in that fashion, even though deep down they know the Cardinals weren't really trying, to say, okay, we still can do this. And I wanted, you know, I wish it would have done the two things. I would have loved to see Matt Barkley, and just, you know, have him just clobber Matt Barkley. That's fine, all that good. That way, if they win big, what can you really say? Well, great, you beat Matt Barkley. Yay. Yeah, I didn't want to see that type of game happen, but that's the only thing I could see, is that you could tell Seattle wanted that game, and it meant a lot to them, despite the meaningless nature of this playoff seeding, but they needed that for their psyche to say, to kind of build that up and say, okay, we can beat them.
Yeah, they needed that. And like I said, that is what is semi-concerning to me, is because they really did needed that. And now, you know, you never want to give a team their quote-unquote swagger back, and you don't want them to have a belief in themselves. So, but yeah, I think the other thing is, and it's something that we've been maybe mentioned in passing, but I think we should, you know, just mention again, is how much can you trust Chandler Catanzaro at this point? Is that a legitimate concern moving forward for this team? And, you know, in what, maybe not the divisional round, unless they do get a Minnesota, but definitely in a definitely in an NFC Championship game scenario where they could play a Seattle or Carolina, likely. How concerned do you become with his misses in both the extra points, and he has missed some field goals this year too. He has made some big field goals as well. So I mean, you have to look at it from both ways. But how concerned do you become at this point?
Well, I'm going to pull up his stats real quick. But The extra points, that's a really kind of an interesting thing, because you look at it and yes, he's missed five, but he's kicked a lot of them. So it's not like his failure rate is, you know, awful, awful. He's still in the 90s. His percentage is fine. So that kind of tells you, all right. And when you kick a lot of extra points and when you kick a lot of 33 yarders, you're bound to miss some at the same time. Those, with the exception of really there's only one extra point that he missed that was perhaps meaningful. That was against Baltimore, and that was against a bad team. It turns out that what it would have done at the most was caused a overtime time. So his extra points haven't been costly at all. And what it's been is his field goals, and he's only missed two of his three misses were over 50 yards. You'd like to see him make more of those, only because you want to be able to rely on him for a long field goal. But when it comes to, I'm not terribly concerned. His extra points, he's kicked a lot of them. He's kicked a lot of them. So I'm not overly concerned, other than the fact that we're used to automatic. The only thing I'm concerned with is he hasn't shown to be, you know, he's 0 for 2 from 50. From 50 and beyond. That's the only thing that concerns me, because when it comes down to, you might have a 52, 53 yarder at the end of a half, or maybe even as a possible game winner, you want that to be more automatic, or at least had a chance, but he hasn't hit one all year.
Yeah, and so I think, but it is, like I said, I think it's something you want to watch, and just another thing to, you know, keep an eye on, and what could possibly go wrong in this, you know, this hopeful journey that we're about to embark on.
So the question is now, with this game, should we be concerned as fans? Should we be concerned? Should we be upset because of that game, or whether it be the Cardinals and their play in general, or because of the matchup of potentially playing Seattle again? I say yes, well, yes and no. There were so many fans who simply said, I don't care what happens in this game as long as they come out of it healthy. The Cardinals did do that. They came out of that game healthy. And those same fans who says, I wanted to get out healthy, but then it was bad because they were embarrassed by Seattle. So I can't get too upset about that, because what was really the one main thing that had to happen, they had to stay healthy. No key players got hurt. Guess what? Not a single key player got hurt. Lyle Sinline a little banged up, but probably should be ready to go in 2 weeks. And even then, if he's out, it's not, you don't really lose anything with Shipley. Secondly, should you be upset? If you were a fan who bought a ticket, I would be upset, because they quit, essentially. They just stopped playing. It was like a preseason game almost. Now, concerned, I wrote about it today on Tuesday. I wrote about this Tuesday as should the Cardinals, Richard Sherman said, you know, first thing he says is, should the Cardinals be concerned about potentially playing the Seattle Seahawks again? He said, they should be concerned. I don't believe concern is in terms of, you know, I wrote this, when it comes to teams, concerned isn't a word that should even appear in their vocabulary, because all of that's about preparation. So they shouldn't be concerned about any team they face. They should be prepared. For fans, I don't see that game as giving them any reason to be more concerned than they would have before that game. Seattle's a good team, so obviously there's matchups. So that game, the way they performed, the fact that the Seattle's beat the crap out of the Cardinals, to me, tells fans, don't be any more concerned than you already were. That game meant nothing other than giving Seattle a little bit of swagger, but the Cardinals didn't lose any of their swagger. All we need to know, okay, if you were concerned about the Seattle game, good. If you're not, don't be. There's no reason to be more concerned than before the game.
Right, and I think concern is what you say when you're trying to explain that, you know, when you rank teams, and this is something that you and I talked about before we came on the show, and, when you rank teams, your concern isn't that you might have to play Seattle as much as it is Seattle is the team that, let's face it, is probably the
toughest matchup.
Yeah, best matchup or worst matchup, as is, worst matchup for the Cardinals going forward, and it's because of, you know, a multitude of things. They have a familiarity with each other. They, you know, it's an NFC West opponent. This will be their third game of the year. And so I think that's where, if you're going to talk about concern, that's what you can talk about as a fan. But this game doesn't really change anything from who was the favorite or, you know, who's the better team. I think we saw in Seattle that the Cardinals and Seahawks are basically a coin flip at this point. That's what the difference is between these two teams. So, you know, maybe Seattle talks a little more about how, you know, how they blew out Arizona at home, but I don't really think it changes any of the either of the dynamics. And let's look at it this way. Vegas still has the Cardinals or still has, yeah, still has would be the right terms. Vegas still has the Cardinals as the favorites for the Super Bowl. And all advanced metrics still have the Seahawks as the best team in the NFL. So, I mean, it's, you know, basically where we were at 3 weeks ago, I think, where Seattle was still, you know, the best team by all the metrics, and Arizona was the favorite in the Super Bowl.
And for me, you know, you and I talked about it. That's a game that, you know, you want to see the Cardinals win. In fact, that's a game, that's a team, as much as I want to see go to Carolina and get revenge over the win last year, there wouldn't be anything, honestly, there wouldn't be anything sweeter than to face Seattle in the championship game and knock them off, send them home packing, wah, 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 Richard Sherman, and then go to the Super Bowl. I welcome that matchup. I welcome that matchup. That's what I want. Really, if I could pick how that goes, that'll be how it happens. But at the same time, I understand that, you know, Seattle is, I think, the team that is the most likely to beat the Cardinals. That's they're the one team they're the team that worries me the most in terms of the team that could beat Arizona. I don't worry as much about Carolina. Carolina's going to respect them, but I think that the matchup is too much. And what we've seen, you know, when it comes down to the Seahawks, can you score points? I believe every single loss that they had this season, they gave up. The 27 points is sort of the magic number. If you can get 27 on them, they're going to lose. As good as their offense has been, they are not an offense that's built to win in a shootout. They're an offense that's built to pile on short fields and dominating defense. Kind of like they won that Super Bowl. They don't have an overpowering offense, but they can really pile on. They're not built to win shootouts, and they haven't won shootouts, in fact. If you have a team that can keep points on the board, their defense, you know, starts to fall apart a little bit. And that's, you know, if Seattle can keep the game low scoring, if they can keep the team from scoring the way they want to, they're going to have a hard time. If Arizona can consistently move the ball, guess what? I really like the Cardinals. And had we seen more effort, you know, after that interception, I think they would have been able to be more consistent about it. But the key thing against a team like Seattle is you can't turn the ball over early. We saw, you know, the Super Bowl, that really did in Denver. That did in the Cardinals this last week. But if you get a lead and you turn over the ball later, but Seattle pounces on you early and then just keeps piling on. And I think that's the one thing that you might worry about.
Yeah, and much like the Cardinals' defense is a front-running defense, I think you kind of hit on it. Seattle's offense is a front-running offense. So when they get, you know, like you said, when they get a lead, they're able to kind of poured on, and we saw that this week. They scored in bunches, 30 points in the first half, and then, you know, they called off the dogs, so to speak, and so you ended up with, you know, the 36-6 score, and but that's what they do, you know. We've seen against St. Louis, you know, twice this year, they lost because, you know, one game, as you said, was a shootout, and the other game was they just couldn't get their offense on track. And then when you look at the Cardinals' first game, it was a shootout. It was a close game until the end. And so I think overall you and I and everybody else, we're hoping that it ends up being Minnesota victory in the first round, and you know the Cardinals end up getting Washington in the NFC Championship game, and everybody wants to see the easiest route for your team, so there's less medical conditions being arisen from what's going on, and your blood pressure stays down. You don't have to worry about your heart. But let's be honest, this season, the past three seasons, and even going back to the 56-0 or whatever it was game, this is all culminating in a NFC West championship game showdown in Glendale. That where the Cardinals will take on Seattle to have the right to go to the Super Bowl and really justify what everybody is as of now rightfully calling the best season in team history.
Right, and it will be a very meaningful game because it will be symbolic of it's either the changing of the guard or a continued all right. Well, you beat us this time, but we're still. It's like the younger brother who grows up, and finally beats that old. The younger brother finally beats the older brother, and you think that they're better now, but then the older brother, puts them back in their place, saying, "Hey, when it matters, I can still beat you." So there, and that's kind of what that championship game will end up being, if and when it happens. Is Seattle's the older brother that's been there, done that. Cardinals are that younger brother who appear to have more talent that's finally caught up and is beating the older brother. Will it be the changing of the guard, or will it be the older brother putting the younger brother back into his place?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd prefer not to play them because, as we said to open the show, any team would sell, right? Like, I could probably get over a loss in a couple weeks, but any other team is going to be, it'll take a couple weeks, but Seattle, that's going to, that's probably just never going to get over that until it actually happens.
Just like the one team in the Super Bowl I don't want to face really is Pittsburgh. I think they're the one team that will give the Cardinals fits. But that's a talk for another time. What do I want to talk about in this next part, the last part of the show, which should be a more abbreviated show since there isn't as much to talk about, is to look ahead at these three teams we have potentially moving forward, either Minnesota, Green Bay, or Washington. Let's kind of look at each matchup, break down where their strengths and weaknesses are, and talk about, well, in terms of what team would you like to face the most? Well, which game do you want to see the most, and which team would you like to face the most in terms of a route to the playoffs? And we've got Green Bay, we've got Minnesota, we've got Washington. Now, personally, I have a little bit of, I am a bit leery about history. You look historically through the playoffs, I don't have any numbers in front of me, but it seems that the notion of facing a team in the playoffs again that you've already played and beaten in the regular season worries me. It worries me more than facing a team I haven't seen because, the whole familiarity thing, that's why division games are so tough. Both Green Bay and Minnesota we've seen. Green Bay was killed. Now, we're going to talk about this. I'm not so worried about that matchup because I think they're very depleted, and I think Aaron Rodgers is sort of keeping that team together somehow. Now, they're playing better defense this year, but I think, you know, he's sort of the glue to that team like Andrew Luck was. You take Andrew Luck or a Peyton Manning off of those Colts teams, and you go from a playoff team to a crap team. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers, he's holding it together. But, you know, the team I would like to see the most, honestly, the one I want to see Washington. They haven't played each other. There's no revenge in the factor, so there's no extra motivation for a team to get back on the horse and beat the Cardinals. And I want to see sort of, you know, I've been intrigued by the Washington story because I was one that talked about how awful Kirk Cousins was. He's a terrible quarterback. What in the world is he doing out there? He's turned out to be a pretty decent quarterback, especially he's handling that offense. He's making quick reads. I'd like to see that match. I'm just intrigued by it.
I personally just want to play with Green Bay because they're so awful. So, and that's not like, I mean, that's a terrible thing to say. And you never want to play the best quarterback, maybe in the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Cardinals match up better with Green Bay than anybody else. And obviously Washington would be the next in line, and I'd be okay with that as well. You know, thinking about it, you and I talked about it before the show. When it comes to Minnesota kind of...
Minnesota's a little bit scary to me, honestly. A little bit.
Yeah, Minnesota is, as I think, in this, you know, not like the Carolina Panthers care what you and I have to say, but honestly, I'd be more concerned with Minnesota than playing Carolina. And that's just because Minnesota is... like a souped-up version, as you call them, of St. Louis. So, you know, their defensive line may not be quite as good, but everywhere else on the field, they're better. So,
and the thing that gets St. Louis is their quarterback play. We've seen Teddy Bridgewater play some pretty good quarterback. He's inconsistent, but we've seen him play some pretty good quarterback, and he played a really good quarterback against the Cardinals back when he came to town.
Exactly. So I think when you boil it down, you know, if you put them in order, Green Bay, Washington, Carolina, and then obviously Minnesota, and then Seattle. And I think, like I said, I think it's going to end up being the Cardinals are going to end up seeing Washington in their first game, the divisional round. And I think they're going to end up hosting the NFC Championship game for the second time in their history as the Arizona Cardinals, and you're going to see Seattle.
And I can see that happening. And I agree with you. In fact, I'm in terms of who I think the Cardinals, if I'm most confident about a win, we were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier in the off before the show, before we got on the air, is, you know, how confident am I against each team? Hosting Green Bay, yes, I'm probably at a 90%. I'm going to go a little lower just because the double facing after the blowout, they're going to be extra up for that game. So I'm 80% confident in a win over Green Bay. Over Washington, I'm probably rough 75% confident in a win. I'm probably a, you know, 70% confidence, maybe 65% confident over a win in over Minnesota. Actually, no, I forgot. I actually go traveling to Carolina. I'm probably at about a 65-70% confident they could beat Carolina on the road, simply because, and we talked about it, you know, to beat the Cardinals, you need to have multiple weapons. Carolina just doesn't have that. I don't think you can't count Ted Ginn as a weapon. Especially, I mean, you put Patrick Peterson on Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn is Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn doesn't exist. I think they can contain Cam Newton. I think they can contain the running game. And I think the Cardinals have too many weapons offensively to be able to for Carolina to contain. So I probably a 65% confidence in beating Carolina on the road. roughly maybe between 60-65 confidence in beating Minnesota. And then I'm about 55-60% confident the Cardinals would beat Seattle at home. You know, and so, yeah, kind of the same order. If I'm talking about level of confidence, that's how I would rate those teams. If you look at Green, let's talk about the Green Bay matchup. Obviously, the quarterback factor, the luck. You know, the one thing that worries me the most about the game is that luck factor, because Green Bay somehow gets the benefit of every strange call that there ever is, dating back to when their one bad luck was that was against the Monday night game against Seattle, when it was that call was missed. Other than that, they've got every ball go there. They've got the Hail Mary, the bad call, the missed call in Seattle. They just seem to get every ball bouncing their way, the non-catch. Okay, there's two. It's always against Seattle. They just don't. They just have the good luck against Seattle. But that's the thing. Quarterback play and their defense, if B.J. Raji is healthy, is solid.
Yeah, and when you look at this team and where they're at, I don't think they should be underdogs against anybody at all. But like I said, I do think that they are at a coin flip point with Seattle. I respect Seattle that much. So, and to be honest, let's face it, they've won. They've won, or they've been to, the last three NFC championship games, and won two, and including one Super Bowl. So yeah, I mean,
well,
they're
really they were within a play. They were within a play of going to the Super Bowl. Then they dominated the Super Bowl, and really they were a play away from a championship last year. So they've been on the cusp on the two other ones, and then they have the one very convincing win.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things. And like you said, until you beat them, the old Ric Flair saying, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And let's face it, in the NFC, the man is Seattle. So
now, if you look at Washington, where do you see the strengths of Washington entering that game? I see a team that actually is moving the ball really well, that you've got a quarterback that's playing really well, and they've got a defense that can, they're not a traditional pass rush after the passer, because they have the type of pass rushers that the bigger guys, they got the Preston Smith, they got the Ryan Kerrigan, guys that we both like in terms of skill set, and they do provide a matchup problem, that they will be a physical team up front. And then they have some weapons down the field.
Yeah, I think when you look at Washington, the first thing that you think about is that they lately don't make mistakes. So, that's one of the things that you see. The biggest thing with Washington is, and a reason I'm not super concerned if Arizona plays them, is because they're just not as good on the road. And so since, that's a guaranteed home game for the Cardinals, I think that you end up seeing, a team that goes from time of possession at home, nearly 35 minutes a game, down to 28 minutes a game on the road. I mean, that's a huge discrepancy. When you look at the Cardinals, at home, they're only at 30 minutes. And on the road, they're holding the ball for 34 minutes a game. So that's, Washington's strength is their ability to, maintain long drives, cut down on possessions for the other team, and they punctuate those long drives with touchdowns. And so that's what happens, is they're a team that, if they get ahead 10-0, they can really milk the clock, even if you get a score at 7 and make it 10-7. They can milk the clock for a half and get a field goal out of it, and then all of a sudden it's 13-7, and you're in a two-minute drill, you know, and you've only touched the ball twice in the half. So that's, you know, that's the one concern with Washington. But like I said, they're a completely different monster at home versus on the road, and that's a team, when you get them, you know, in University of Phoenix Stadium, I just don't see an issue arising for the Cardinals. Could they win? Absolutely. Because you've seen, you know, how good Kirk Cousins has been this year, and you'll see talented offense and an opportunistic defense, but I don't think that they are, you know, across the board as talented as Arizona.
And you look at their schedule, they haven't been tested either with their competition, and which is really kind of the thing that I like about the Cardinals going in. They had that second half of the season where it looked like it was going to be a brutal stretch, and they go 7-1. They played four playoff teams. They beat four playoff teams. They won all their division games on the road. So they've had high-quality teams. They had good tune-ups for the playoffs. And that's the one thing where Washington, I think, no matter the level of talent that they have, when everything is ramped up in the playoffs, I think that's where they're going to struggle. And the DeSean Jackson factor, is he going to do something stupid?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a factor. And you know, the main thing, the biggest thing, and you know, something that I actually just saw come across my timeline, you know, in the red zone this year, Kirk Cousins is amazing. You know, 22 touchdowns and no interceptions. So, you know, like I said, if they're able to move the ball and, you know, move up and down the field, I don't really see any issues with Arizona stopping them. But, you know, if they are able to move up and down the field and really control the time of possession and cut down on opportunities the Cardinals, you know, have, like I said, I find it hard to believe that Arizona could lose. But, you know, if we go back just, what, 5-6 years ago, Arizona was in the same position as Washington is kind of in now. And so and it kind of worked out for them okay. So
very, very true. Very true. Now, kind of wrap up the show. Let's kind of look at let's talk about predictions. You kind of mentioned it. I think this weekend I think Minnesota is much more competitive. In fact, I think they can beat Seattle, especially at home in frigid conditions. But Seattle's playoff-tested team, I think they will win a close game. So I see Seattle coming away with a close win, kind of building momentum. And I see Washington, you know, getting a rather, not maybe necessarily blowout, but a convincing two-score win over Green Bay this weekend. So we'll be looking at, that's my prediction. We'll be looking at Seattle at Carolina, Washington at Arizona.
Yeah, I'm with you. I you know, when you look at Minnesota, that 0 degrees, the cold, the first home game outdoors in Minnesota since I think 1967 or 1964. I honestly don't remember. It all points to a big opportunity for Minnesota. I just have a hard time seeing the possibility of Seattle not winning that game. You know, I understand they lost to St. Louis, but I don't know.
Well, and I think Teddy Bridgewater, being as young a quarterback as he is, not having had the playoff experience, this is where he will learn it. I think he'll probably falter late, but he doesn't have the experience, and I think that will show But I don't think that Seattle's running away with that game. That you know, having faced them in Minnesota already, Minnesota's going to be up for that game. It'll be in conditions. Both teams, in fact, are equipped to handle that because of the abilities of both Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson.
Yep, and so I agree with that part too. Is you're going to see. I think you're going to see a very physical game. You know, on the chance that the Minnesota Vikings do pull it off, I think they come into Arizona at a strong disadvantage with the fact that I think they're just going to be completely, taxed. I think because you have to remember the one thing about Seattle, and we just kind of hit on it. The one thing about Seattle is they've been here and they've done this before. And they've waged, you know, the quote-unquote wars in the early rounds and survived the physical punches that were the Carolina Panthers, you know, last year and the San Francisco 49ers the year before and stood tall and kept going. Minnesota hasn't had to do that yet. Outside of Adrian Peterson, I don't really know anybody on this team that's been in a deep playoff run. Now, you can say the same thing about the Arizona Cardinals, 100% fact, in that case. But the Cardinals don't have to play Seattle in the first round. So, on the off chance that Minnesota does win, they're going to, you don't want to say come limping in here, but they'll definitely be feeling the effects of the game. Their first, you know, playoff win for a young team in a young regime's, existence. And so I think that could be one, you know, of the possible advantageous situations. I don't see it playing out, but, you know, it is something to watch.
All right. Anything else worth noting is before we wrap up the show, before we talk about, and we'll actually be able to break down the matchup more next week. I anticipate we will have an all-Cardinal show next week, kind of talking about the weekend of the playoffs, what to look forward to, what not to look forward to, and kind of breaking down the matchups that way. Anything else worth mentioning to the listeners, Seth?
My draft podcast is back. We just recorded last night. We're going to try to do two shorter shows a week. And so we're kind of heating that back up. We're at draftbreakdown.com now. And then obviously on the Revenge of the Birds site, if you have a draft prospect that you would like me to look at and to talk to some of my contacts about, which is kind of where I'm going with this season's draft preview, definitely shout it out in the comment section or on Twitter to either myself at SCoxFB or to at SeniorJustRoot or at RevengeOfBirds, and we'll try to get those guys under the microscope as we prepare for the draft season.
All right, well, thank you, Seth, for coming on with me again. It makes it a much more enjoyable listen, I hope, for the listeners than just hear me talk all the time. This will give us a wrap for our all-Cardinals show this weekend. We get a week off of watching the Cardinals. Sit back, relax, watch the other teams, and head over to RevengeOfTheBirds.com and participate in those. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, or on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. Seth at SCoxFB for him, at Senor Jess Root for me. If you haven't subscribed to the show, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, Google, just find us and listen to us. We appreciate the listening. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Rube. We're signing off. That's it for Revenge of the Birds Radio tonight.
Have a good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting RevengeOfTheBirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.